I have learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. I have tasted life's pure fountain. I am drinking of His word. I have found the strength and sweetness of abiding neath the blood. I have lost myself in Jesus. I am sinking into God. I'm abiding in the Lord and fighting in His word. I'm fighting I hope you would all awaken tomorrow with this song in your heart. I'm hiding. I'm abiding. I'm confiding. Amen. Don't you have that experience? Sometimes you awaken with a song in your heart. It is as if the Lord, from the moment you woke up, is calling you into the fellowship. He's calling you. That hymn, that song, is a call for fellowship. Tonight we will spend some time to go through some hymns and to talk about how to use the hymns in our fellowship with the Lord. Before that, I would like to touch on two matters. Firstly, something of our history. I think most of us here are familiar with this phrase, the God-ordained way. The God-ordained way. And this phrase has quite a history. In 1984, our dear Brother Lee, given this portion of the ministry of the age and guiding the churches, came to this kind of realization that the churches in North America had come to a kind of a standstill. It was like we were treading water. The way the words that he put it, at least on a number of occasions, was that the churches in this area of the world were kind of dormant. And then he said that the churches in the Far East, he said, were dead. That was his words. And that he felt there needs to be a kind of new beginning in the recovery. And there's a lot of history behind that. So anyway, he told us that he would go back to Taiwan, and he asked the brothers in North America, be patient with me, I'll come back for the semi-annual trainings, which he did. But he wants to go there and use that the church in Taipei and the churches in Taiwan as a kind of laboratory to work out this. At first, he called it the new way. The new man walks on the new way. You remember this kind of talk? And actually what he did was he went back and did a thorough study of the scriptures, especially the New Testament, to see what really is the God-ordained way for the New Testament church, the believers in the New Testament church, to meet and to serve. And the result of that study was what he called the God-ordained way. And he kind of summarized all the kind of research and fellowship and everything that they did in these four words. Actually, the saints know. You know the four words. You know the four words? What? The first word is begetting, and this has to do with the gospel. And the second word is nourishing. This has to do with a kind of shepherding, feeding new ones that you get saved in the gospel. And so you bring those new ones, actually, you get them saved, and then you go to their home and meet with them. And so the second one, nurturing, nourishing, is in the homes, and especially in the homes of the new ones themselves. If you could get them to open their home to meet with them, that would be a great thing. Because at the beginning, in Acts, all the homes were open. People got saved and they opened their homes. That's what we mean, the God-ordained way. What we see in the scripture, it's not a kind of a funny thing or a made-up thing. It's the way that we see in the Word. People met in their homes. And you could imagine, there's no other way, because that first day, we talked about this, I think, this afternoon in the special fellowship, 3,000 men got saved. Later, 5,000, tens of thousands were being saved. They didn't have a hall. They didn't have a big arena. They met in the homes. And then it says they also met in the temple grounds. I don't know how they worked that out. But anyway, they got in trouble for that later. But they were meeting predominantly in the homes. So it's a proper thing for someone to be saved and open their home. Okay, so that's second word. So begetting and nourishing. And what's the third? Perfecting or teaching. I would rather say perfecting. Perfecting. Teaching is not wrong. Perfecting. But this perfecting is to build up. Now we bring the ones in the homes, these newly saved ones, we bring homes together and we form a group, small group. And in that group meeting, we hope that the saints would be perfected, as it says in Ephesians 5, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. And that there would be the operation, it's in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, of each one part. Right, working together, right? Working together. The body building itself up in love, right? And actually, this was the great vision Brother Nee saw decades before and never saw it worked out. And this, saints, is what we're doing. And our feeling is, if we can work this out, the Lord will just come back. Because this is what he's waiting for. Because this is for the building of the body and the producing of the bride. And if we have this and we're on the way for this, the Lord will return. That's really the meaning of our life. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. So we have the begetting, nourishing, perfecting, and then building by prophesying. And this is now we bring the groups together and we have the church meeting. The church meeting. And maybe either in large meeting or in district meetings, where everyone can prophesy, where everyone can function. Okay, most of us, I didn't tell you anything new. You knew that already. I just reviewed that, just for the case there's some new ones or younger ones among us. So let's say the four words again. Begetting, nourishing, perfecting, building. Right, okay. Do you realize that during that period of time, between 84 through 89, but actually already started by 85 or 6. That's when a publication started to be produced among us entitled The Holy Word for Morning Revival. You know, those of you who are younger, once upon a time, we didn't have such a publication. This publication started to be produced exactly during that period of time. And I want to show you this link. Why? Why at that time did our dear brother have this feeling? We have to help the churches. We have to help the individual saints in every church with their mourning time. Why? Because, you know, we have BNPB. This is the, what do you call this? Acronym. In the Lord's Recovery, we have a lot of acronyms. Yeah. BNPB. Yeah. Begetting, nourishing, right? Perfecting, building. Okay. The building is by prophesying in the group, the district meeting or the church meeting. Yeah. Many of the saints, I think many here in this audience, you use this book. Do you use this book, Holy Word for Morning Revival? Okay. And that book, it's a guide, it's a help to go through the seven big conferences that we have every year, right? We have seven, we call them seven feasts, because Brother Lee called it that, the seven feasts. And so this is the content. If you travel the globe, nearly every church, this is the content of our Lord's Day meeting. Once in a while, churches will do a little bit different to meet the local need, and then go back, and we do the same. Okay. So the Lord's Day, saints are prophesying. Using what as a guide? Those messages. But how? The Holy Word for morning revival. Do you see that book links morning revival with the church meeting? Right? So we're expecting. I think we're expecting. We're hoping. Is hoping less than expecting? We're hoping. We really wish that all the saints would have a wonderful time with the Lord every morning. And that eventually would translate into the Lord's Day morning meeting. Now, why is it that sometimes in our meetings, even though we're saying the right words and presenting the proper truth, we have to admit, sometimes not as rich as others. Sometimes we don't have much to offer. Sometimes the saints, and that's good. Please don't misunderstand. Don't misunderstand. I think you can touch my spirit in analyzing this. Sometimes, at most, the saints can read a little something, a little portion, and that's their contribution. That's wonderful. But that's not rich enough. And actually, the lack of our personal time with the Lord is exhibited, I don't know if that's the right word. Maybe the better word is exposed in our corporate gatherings. So there is a picture in the Old Testament that is captured by one word in 1 Corinthians 14:26. You know, 1 Corinthians 14 is the chapter on prophesying in the church meetings. And in verse 26, it says, "What is it then, brothers? Whenever you come together, each one has." This little word has. H-A-S. Amen. This little word has. Each one has. Amen. Is a big word. Each one has what? First one's a psalm. A song. Each one has a song. A psalm. And then it lists five things. Each one has. That means each one comes to the meeting with something to offer. And if you have the recovery version of the New Testament, this little word has a long footnote. And it's very helpful. I won't quote it here, or we won't read it here, but I recommend that you could look at that and ponder that. In that note, it mentions this analogy or this picture in the Old Testament of what? The children of Israel coming together three times a year in feasting. And when they came, each one brought something. But they brought, it's not like our love feast sometimes. You're on the way, oh, didn't have time to prepare something. Let me stop at Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah. Is there such a thing here? Kentucky Fried? Yeah. You understand? Yeah. Let me stop at, you know, or I'll stop at, you know, and bring some roasted turkeys. I mean chickens, from roasted chickens or something. You bring a little, you know, but you just buy it on the way. That's not quite what it means, each one has, but that's better than nothing. The picture in the Old Testament is in Colossians, It says, we all have an allotted portion. We all have a portion of Christ. And that's the picture in the Old Testament. And we're going to see that in our study. We're in Numbers this year, in the book of Numbers. But we're going to get to Deuteronomy. Then we're going to get to Joshua and the conquering of the land, and then the distribution of the land. And yes, every tribe with more people would get more portions, but eventually each family had their equal lot, their equal portion of the land. And last time we were together, last time I was with you with Brother Ed Marks over the Labor Day time, our topic there was the Jubilee. But what's the background of the Jubilee? The background was that each one did not have. That each one had and some lost by their laziness. And then, of course, happy every 50 years, the trumpet, and then each one has. But if you're going to be lazy and lose it again and sell it again, so the point is, each one has. Each one has. And then each one brings, and each one offers, and then God enjoys among his people. And as we do that, the church is being built. That's 1 Corinthians 14. And each one has, and this is my point and my link to our fellowship this weekend, each one has begins every morning. Begins every morning. And it begins sometimes when your eyes are opening and you have that song in your heart. That's where everything begins. And I hope you can see that that is linked ultimately with the building of the church. And so, if the enemy wants to frustrate the building of the church, all he has to do is frustrate us here. One day, we just are not so careful, we're too tired, we sleep, we go to bed late. Next morning, we just miss our time. Or we have our time with the Lord, and as soon as we have the time, the thoughts come, as we talked about this morning. Do you see, dear saints, do you see that right there, when we're spending that time with the Lord, there is the crux of the battle. This morning I spoke to you about 2 Corinthians. To study, you could study this line of the mind, the thoughts, through 2 Corinthians. I didn't get to the last one. I would like for us to read those verses now. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Also verses that I think are quite familiar to many of us. But I hope that you could see something fresh in this line. 1 Corinthians 11. Sorry, thank you. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 2 and 3. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. And they are linked with one of the these verses are linked with one of the messages we had in Numbers on the jealousy of God. Let's read together verses 2 and 3. For
I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God, for I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear that somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your thoughts will be corrupted from the simplicity and purity for Christ.
Just as the enemy, the serpent, did with Eve in that first encounter, he interrupted the relationship that God had with man in this fresh, the freshness of this relationship. You know, in chapter 3, when after they fall, it talks about Jehovah walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You get a sense there that he was coming to enjoy the presence of man. We talk about us coming to enjoy the presence of God. But I think he was coming to enjoy the presence of man. But something had happened. What had happened? Man had been seduced, deceived, corrupted from the simplicity. And the enemy comes in the same way, to inject a thought. And there, in the garden, he came this way. Has God said? Trying to inject a thought that God is actually not really for you. You know, not only was the enemy trying to get Eve, Adam, to disobey God, he also was accusing God to them. Because in that exchange, has God said, you will not certainly die? Because God, listen, I'm paraphrasing now. Listen, it's like the serpent was talking to her. Come here. Let me tell you, God knows, that's what it says, God knows that in the day you eat of it, you will become like gods, knowing good and evil. He says that. The implication is, but he doesn't want that for you. Actually, doesn't God want to become like man so that man can become like God? Isn't it actually God's purpose?
Yes.
Liar. He's a liar. But his way of lying was what? To sow a seed of a doubt. God, you know what? God is not telling you the whole story. God is not really for you. He, the serpent, was trying to cause her to doubt God's heart. And saints, this is one way many of the Lord's children lose the simplicity of Christ. When the enemy comes and causes you to think God doesn't really love you, at least not as much as them. God does not have the best for you. This little thought, I don't know how many young people throughout the ages have been knocked off the road by just this kind of a thought. But the principle that I'm trying to show you is this. The enemy comes this way to the mind. It says here that your thoughts would be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity toward Christ. Actually, the enemy's tactics have not changed. And the Word of God exposes his tactics. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians. That's the first verse that I pointed out to you in chapter 2. That we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes or his thoughts. His thoughts that he injects into us. Saints, in a sense, even though we're having all this fellowship, even though last night we used these words, that it's a kind of science, that if you learn the principles, and I want to say this again, lest there be some who have not been with us, what we're trying to pass on here is just help, is just fellowship. We have no intention to pass on methods or just mere practices. If something that you hear in this fellowship you feel you can apply and it helps you, then by all means. But if that doesn't quite work that way for you, pick up the principle and follow the Lord's leading with it. And we do hope that in this way your time with the Lord would go deeper, your time would be richer, the quality of your time would be increased. And here, this verse talks about simplicity and purity. And saints, bottom line is this. It's actually very simple. It's all very simple. All we need to do is turn our heart back to the Lord and allow Him to guide us as the Spirit of reality. Guide us. This is what we were talking this morning, that it says in Psalm 27:4, beholding and inquiring. Beholding and inquiring. One thing I have asked of Jehovah, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life. And remember, the house of Jehovah is both the church and our spirit. We want to live in our spirit with the Lord all the days. We want to abide in Him. We want to sink into Him. To what? To behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in His temple. And this word inquire, this word inquire, I hope you have this kind of, you pick up this sense. To inquire, that is a sense of dependence. That is a sense of, Lord, I'm just here this morning. I want to be with You. Do you want to sing or do you want to pray? Should I call or shall I just sit here? Lord, I don't want to sit here too long. I'll get in my mind. So Lord, guide me. Guide me this morning. I just want to be with You. I want to be with You. Lord, maybe I'm going to sing and You don't have a strong feeling. Just sing. Either it'll be anointed or it won't be. Just go ahead. And it could be that it's very anointed. And from that, verses come. And we'll illustrate in a moment. And it's very possible. It's very possible. It's not the verses in the book. It's very possible the Lord will lead you from a song to some verses that you heard at the conference, that you heard last week. And then you pray 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it's so anointed. Then you realize, I didn't open the book. Don't think, oh, bad morning watch. Just read it, pick it up later. Don't skip it. That's the part for the Lord's day. Read. But do you see my point? Sometimes, don't put the Lord in a box. Follow Him. That's the simplicity and the purity toward Christ. Saints, I mentioned this morning, now this is the second point I'd like to bring to you, that there are the procedures of fellowship, what Brother Lee calls the procedures. And this just means the elements that are included in our time with the Lord. This is not a step-by-step process. Now, some of you may have heard this throughout the years. There's something that we practiced with the young people. I don't know if any of the young people would remember, especially in the conferences that we had in New York in the April time. And we call it 7 minutes with the Lord. I don't know if, do you remember this? Remember 7 minutes with the Lord. And we gave it this, another acronym. You remember the acronym? Yeah. Anybody remember the acronym? It was, yeah, some of you are starting it. C-P-P-C-T-P. Sorry. I don't know if this is being translated, but I know I lost somebody here. Yeah. Seven practices. Seven practices. Should I write this? I don't know if I should write this. Okay, I'll write this. Okay, yeah. So it's C. Double P, double C, T, P. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you the background first. The background is that years ago, I found a little tract produced by the Navigators. Do you know this Christian group that works on campus, Navigators? And I don't know if anybody here has background in that Christian organization. And they had a thing called 7 Minutes with God. So this is not original. I'm giving them the credit. 7 Minutes with God. And they had an acronym, ACTS, ACTS. Theirs is more simple and easier to remember than mine. Yeah. But I'll tell you the reason why I have this. Theirs was A, ACTS, A, adoration. But if you tell our junior hires today, adoration, they don't know what are you talking about? What you're talking about is having fellowship with God. Then C is confession. And that's this C right here, actually. Confession. Yeah. Then A-C-T. T. T is thanksgiving. And actually, that's this one here. Thanks. Thanksgiving. And then S, A-C-T-S. S is supplication, which just means prayer. Prayer. So anyway, I change it to prayer. Oops. Prayer. So, what I did was, I thought, if you tell young people, you got to pray for 10 minutes, some of the thing, oh, I don't, it's too long. If you say 5 minutes, oh, you think that's a little short. But with the junior hires, good enough. So I said, let's do 7. We kind of, you know, split the difference. And with each of these, we set up a little program to time how long. Yeah, because this is the experience that we had. Let me watch my time. This is the experience that we had. We'd have conferences with the young people, and we tell them, you should have fellowship with the Lord. But that doesn't work. Hey, young person, go have fellowship with the Lord. They go, okay. They don't know what to do. So we thought, okay, don't tell people what to do. Guide them, tutor them. So let's do it together. So we said, okay, we're going to pray for 10 minutes. Pray for 10 minutes. So we said, everybody, close your eyes, bow your head. Let's pray and enjoy the Lord for 10 minutes with your Bible. Okay, after 30 seconds, there's a boy back there. They're all with their head down. And go. Like that. So I asked one of the brothers, we assigned 2 verses to pray read. We assigned them 2 verses to pray read. 30 seconds had passed. And like this. So I said, brother, see that boy over there? Maybe he didn't write down the verses. Go tell him. So we went there. And he said, no, I pray read the verses. I said, oh, you did? He said, yeah. I pray read already. How did you do that? And like this. In the beginning was the Word. Amen. The Word was with God. Amen. The Word was God. Amen. God is Spirit. Amen. Amen. All done. What's next? So we tried to help them to enrich their fellowship. So we did with the young people. And this is adoration expanded. What is that? Call. 30 seconds to call. But what is this for? Actually, if you read those books that we recommended, Brother Lee never talks about calling. Why? Because those messages were given in the 50s. And calling was not recovered among us until 1968. So you won't find the matter of calling in the ministry. But actually, today, if Brother Lee were giving those messages, I do believe, rather than saying, quieting our being, he would say, call on the Lord. So we just merge them. How can you quiet your being? How can you calm your inner being? One good way is just call. But don't call like everyone else calls. And like in the meeting, have you ever done that? You've been in part in the big training meeting. Well, let's all call on the Lord. So we're, oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. You can be, you're calling from here? Not from here? Have you never done that? Oh, Lord. Oh, nice shoes. Lord Jesus. So we have to help our people. Don't take anything for granted. Just call from your heart. Call genuinely. Call. 30 seconds. Then we had prayer. Prayer. Pray, pray. But this pray, actually, sorry. I gave the wrong word here. Petition. This should be petition here. Petition. That is to pray for things. The last word, petition. Pray, this prayer is for fellowship. And what do we mean by that? Just say something to the Lord. What do you want this morning? We received this help from Brother Lee, both in personal prayer and even in the prayer meetings, corporate prayer. He said, very often we explain too much to the Lord. We're going to pray for someone. We have, oh, Lord, look at our brother Joseph. Oh, you know how he loves you. Oh, Lord, he's been in the church so long. Oh, Lord, we need our brother. And the Lord's saying, like, okay, what do you want? Say, Lord, heal him. Okay. The brother's sick. Heal him. Amen. Could have saved time. Brother would have been healed some time ago. So tell the Lord what you want. And this is from John 5. From John 5. He comes and he asks, what do you want me to do for you? And then that man, you know that man? Oh, for 38 years, I've been here. And he didn't, you read the story. He doesn't tell the Lord what he wants. But Bartimaeus, different story. The Lord Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, that I may receive my sight. Right? Boom. Tell him what you want. So, you're with the Lord. Lord, here I am, and you know me. And it's not guaranteed I'm going to turn to you when I get to school or work. So, Lord, I hope you really take advantage of these 10 minutes. Can't you tell the Lord that? Don't you think he likes the prayer like that? Again, you don't have to pray like that. But you could tell him anything. Lord, I just really need you. You know the pain. You know, Lord. You know better than anyone what my family is going through. So Lord, I'm just here. I'm just here, Lord. Say something. Then to spend some time in the Word, to pray read. Actually, we'll focus on the matter of prayer reading tomorrow morning. Included in the prayer reading, confession. And actually, these four will get mingled. It's not one and then the other. These four are mingled and become our fellowship with the Lord. And then this one here is consecration. Well, then we set this up with the young people, 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2.5 or 3 minutes, 1 minute, 1 minute, 30 seconds, 30 seconds. Anyway, I don't know if that exactly is it, but it adds up to 7. But then we made a 10-minute version for the more advanced. And then we got these books, How to Enjoy God, Lessons for New Believers. And especially this book, Lessons for New Believers, chapter 21, or is it 22? Brother Lee has exactly these 7 points. Except this one, he doesn't say call, he says quieting our being. But saints, I'm very burdened for this right here. I'm very burdened for this one. We need more worship and thanksgiving in our time with him. Maybe we'll get to spend a little more time on that tomorrow morning. But these are elements that appear. It doesn't mean, did I consecrate? You don't have to do the checklist. It's not a checklist. And this is just for our study. You don't think about these. You just flow. But when you stop and look back, that's our time with the Lord. And each one needs to be enriched. Okay. Let's talk about the hymns. The hymn that we sang before, and sisters, I'm going to need your help. I think we will spend a little time singing and sharing. I mentioned to you before that sometimes our calling, depending on where you're at, depending on what situations you're going through, on what your day is going to be, on what happened just last night, on the dream that you had in the middle of the night, we wake up in different conditions. And sometimes we're just down. You can't explain it. You're just down. And we come to the Lord, we don't know where to start. We don't know what to do. We almost don't have the heart to call. Has this ever happened to you? Maybe you sigh, you groan, say, Lord, I'm here, I do love you. But I just feel, ugh. I tell you, a song like this. I have learned the wondrous secret. Even you have a feeling, you know, I don't really mean it even this morning. But you're willing. You're there. Of abiding in the Lord, I have tasted life's pure fountain. I am drinking. Lord, I want to drink your word this morning. I really need to drink your word. Your word can't be doctrine this morning. It won't make it. I have found the strength and sweetness, O Lord. The strength and the sweetness. Lord, would you give me the sweetness this morning? It's been some time, Lord. It's been some time that I really had the sweetness. I get the strength. I get the supply. But Lord, I think I need a hug this morning. I really need you. I have lost myself in Jesus. I am sinking in. That's what I want, Lord. I want to sink into you. I want to sink into you more. You know what, saints? Maybe that's good enough for that morning. 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And the Lord meets you. The Lord meets you in a very particular way. And then I'm abiding in the Lord, confiding in his word. I'm hiding in the bosom of his love. It could be through these three words, abiding, confiding, hiding. The Lord just ministers exactly to your need. And you're surprised. You weren't expecting this. But the Lord came to you. You know, saints, the hymns are really a legacy in the body of Christ. These are experiences of all those who have gone before us, upon whose shoulders we stand. This particular hymn, just like 255, I am breathing out, that one, were written by Brother A.B. Simpson. Brother Simpson has so many treasured hymns that we have in our hymn book. Verse 3. How about we sing verse 3? Just singing this. Do you have some feeling? Do you have some feeling? How about take 30 seconds and just pray, you and the Lord. If just some words here spark something in you. We all just personally have some prayer. 30 seconds. Fears and griefs I tell him. All my cares from day to day. When you're alone with the Lord, these words could, it's like throwing another log into a fire to refuel the fire. All my cares from day to day. All my strength I draw from Jesus. By his breath I live and move. Even his very mind he gives me. Lord, I need your mind. Don't you need the Lord's mind? Amen. Aren't there important decisions in your life, in the life of your family, on behalf of your children, for your job, for the church life? Amen. Brothers, don't we have to make crucial decisions to lead the church? We need his mind. Where do we get that? by abiding, confiding, and hiding. By we brothers having this kind of fellowship. And then we bring what we have to the fellowship with the brothers. Verse 5. Let's sing 5 and the chorus. Let's turn to hymn 719, 719. This is under the heading, Comfort in Trials by Peace in the Lord. A hymn by Sister Frances Havergal. Maybe we are less familiar with this tune, although I do believe a number of us know this. Verse 1 and the chorus, please. Even as we sang here, is there some feeling? Some responding? Our sister had certain experiences. Actually, we have the same experiences, but I'm not poetic, so I don't write it like this. But the Lord gave her this gift to write this poetry. She actually didn't write the music. She wrote a poem. Then the Lord gave someone to put the music. Our sister passed away in 1879 at the age of 43. And I'm sure would never have the idea that in 2019, 140 years later, some in the body of Christ, in the middle Atlantic, would be here receiving from her ministry. That's the body. And because we have the same experiences, because we're actually walking the same pathway, there's an echo in us. Verse 2, hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand. Maybe you start to sing and you can't even finish the line. You have to pray. Maybe you just weep because the Lord is comforting you. I'm in your hand, Lord. I can't believe I'm still in your hand. Even somebody like me, after what I've done, people don't know what's in here, but I'm in the hollow of your hand. Never foe can follow. Never traitor stand. What's the difference between a traitor and an enemy? A traitor was once your friend, or seemingly. Someone close to you who betrays you. Why does she bring this thought here? You know who our traitor is? Our mind, our emotion, and our will. My mind betrays me. Sometimes my emotions betray me. It's time to come to the Lord. I don't want to. Our will doesn't cooperate. Not a surge of worry. Have you never had a surge of worry? You're with the Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, no. I forgot. How many have ever had an experience like that in prayer with the Lord? Yeah. You had a surge of worry. Not a shade of care. You know, a shade is not a surge. This last year, I've passed through some experiences with my family, particularly one of my daughters. And I have to say, there were times in the morning as I was with the Lord, the concern for that situation, it's like shade when you're sitting in the sunlight, but the sun is moving. And then you're in the shade. You weren't in the shade. You didn't sit in the shade. Now you're in the shade. It doesn't like darkness. The shade, it just comes. And it's not as bright as before. And sometimes we're with the Lord and we don't realize actually our heart is being drawn. We're thinking of some situations. And they just bring our heart down. She experienced this and put it in poetic form. Not a blast of hurry. We illustrated this before. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Oh, my goodness. Got to go. We just hurry. We leave the Lord there. Isn't it something someone in the 1800s experienced these exact things in her time with the Lord and had the grace to put it like this? Let's sing verse 3 together and the chorus. Thank you. based on Isaiah 26, verse 3, which in the King James says, "He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." I think many of us learned this verse in the King James Version. In the Recovery Version, the wording is something like this: "You will keep the steadfast of mind in perfect peace." I must confess I like the King James, maybe just because I grew up with that. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." This is really the sister verse to Romans 8:6. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. But do you know, in the Recovery Version, I have the Recovery Version here, which is just the text, but not the footnotes. But do you know, for this verse, there's a note. It's a grammatical note. And sometimes there are some like that. And it shows that for the word perfect peace, the phrase perfect peace, actually in the Hebrew, the word perfect is not there. You know what the phrase is? Peace. Peace. Double peace. Peace, comma, peace. "You will keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Don't you want double peace? A double portion of peace? We have to learn how to keep our mind set on the Lord in our fellowship with him. How about one more, very familiar to us, 8:12. Let's sing 8:12. I know many of us are, even most of us are familiar with this hymn, and I've sung this hymn, we sing it even in corporate meetings and so on. But I hope as we sing now, we would exercise a certain way. If you were just with the Lord, where would you springboard into fellowship with him as we sing this? Maybe one, two, or three places. Just let us exercise in a way of really being in the fellowship and to see, "Lord, do you have something more for me wrapped up or hidden in some of these words or phrases?" And you might consider then, after this meeting this evening, or for your morning time tomorrow, to come back here and dig a little more and see if the Lord still has something. Or any of the hymns. Actually, all of the hymns we've been introducing at the beginning of each of the meetings, all of these hymns particularly are very good for our fellowship with the Lord. There are many others, but I hope this selection would help you in your time with the Lord. Okay, hymn 8:12. Were there some phrases? Just to behold thy face, for this my heart doth cry. And then, Lord, I would linger here, still seeking after thee. Anyway, saints, I hope that we have seen tonight this connection between our personal private time with the Lord and the ultimate building up of the church. The Lord said, I will build my church. And in nearly the same breath, unveiled to us that the gates of Hades will contest. Of course, there's a promise. The gates of Hades will not prevail. Amen. But the implication is the gates of Hades are always contesting. And we awaken every morning into this battle. Into this battle. May the enemy not carry us away from the simplicity and the purity toward Christ. Amen. Amen. How about we have some time to pray, maybe with some around us, and we have a good amount of time for your responding tonight. Amen. Amen.